Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to do this. Thank you, Lord, that your word is getting out there and blessing people and delivering people. Thank you, Father, for preparing us for a Passover to come, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I asked the Lord what to share, and he gave me to speak about the Passover. And I'd like to start in Exodus 11. Don't know when I'm going to finish. It might take a couple of broadcasts to get it all out there. But I believe we've been warned that there is a plague coming, and that people will have to be under the Passover to escape it. And, of course, God is going to preserve those that we've prayed for that haven't come into the kingdom. We just need to believe him for that. But let's look at this thing and see what we can see in the place we're at right now. Exodus 11, the Lord said unto Moses, "Yet one plague more will I bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt." Now, Egypt is a type of the world. And Pharaoh and his people were trying to keep God's people in bondage. Christianity in bondage. And had plans to do worse. And so I'm seeing Pharaoh here in a parable as the deep state in the government and in the church, because there is a deep state in the church that wants to bring the real people of God and the real leadership into bondage, much like the Pharisees did, Judas did with Jesus, and throughout history, every man-child in history had to come out of bondage to these wicked people. So we've got our leftist goats, deep state, if you will, in government and in church. I bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. So there's a time coming when there's going to be some freedom of both of these culprits, right? And when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out thence altogether. And that was, of course, because of judgments that came upon them, right? That they finally decided it wasn't worth it. God's judgments came upon Egypt to deliver his people from bondage. That's the way you have to think about that. That's the point. And verse 2 says, "Speak now in the ears of the people, and let them ask every man of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor." Now, I want to tell you something. You know, Jesus said one time, "Whatsoever you ask of me, I will do." He said, "Of me." When we ask the Father, are we asking it of Jesus? Because Jesus taught us to ask the Father. Okay. He said, "Of me." In other words, you don't have to ask the person. You're asking something from the person, you see. I suggest that everybody start believing and asking this, since this is part of the parable, and we've confirmed that it is coming, that God is going to put, because God's people are going into the wilderness, he is going to put provision in their hands. And ask of his neighbor, every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver, jewels of gold. I believe the Lord is going to put a lot of money into the hands of God's people for the wilderness people, because people are going to be leaving houses and things behind. You know, I started saying some time back that people should start liquidating things that they do not need And, you know, some people, I'm sure, did that, and others didn't do that. And some people will be told by the Lord, just pack up and go. Go wherever God tells you to go. And in that case, some people will say, no, I got to stay here till I sell my house. Well, no, it's not going to work good that way for you. You know, it's just not. But God's got a provision where you go. He's going to have a provision where you go. So don't worry. Put your trust in the Lord. Obey His voice. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Now, I do believe that this is coming, and the Lord is going to give us favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And there won't be anything they can do about it. It's ordered of God. It's going to happen. And, you know, I don't know. I can't prove exactly how it's going to happen. I just know the Lord appeared to me and showed me it was going to happen. He was going to provide a refuge, and He was going to provide lots of money to take care of His people. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And yes, that's actually, this is known to the deep state, to the elite. They know about the man-child. And because there's someone ruling in the affairs of men, and it's not man, it's the Lord. And the Lord is going to use His man-child to do this. Okay? It is a visitation of the Lord, as we'll see in this text even. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. Now, there's lots of people talking about midnight. And some of them are talking about midnight when the 10 virgins go forth. But no, that midnight is on the other end of the tribulation period. This is a midnight that is on this end of the tribulation period. And that's when the 10 virgins take their lamps and go to escort the bride and groom to the groom's home, which is in heaven. And that's at the end of the tribulation period. And that's after the 7-day marriage feast, the 70th week of Daniel. So forget all that pre-trib stuff. It's a lie. Doesn't fit anything. Okay. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Well, the firstborn, just think, that's once born. The firstborn, once born. The twice-born people are going to be saved. And I don't say that to mean that people who call themselves Christians and have a born-again spirit but do not obey the Lord, that they will be saved. I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about those that walk under the blood are going to be saved, as we'll see. But God is going to have a slaughter in Egypt. And it wasn't according to the plan of Pharaoh, obviously, you know, that his people were going to die instead of the other. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. So the firstborn of beasts. And there are beasts out there. Remember that Peter saw the sheep coming down and found out it was the Gentiles, all the beasts. Yeah. And, of course, God saves the Gentiles. He put the beasts in the ark, right? He saved them. So, got to remember these things. But anyway, the man of flesh is not safe. The man who walks after the flesh, the firstborn of every man is the flesh. The man who walks after the flesh must die. Scripture can't be broken. Okay? So you can't say you're going to walk after the flesh and live. You know, if you're following after the flesh, you'll die. They have to eat unleavened bread during this time. They can't partake of anything that's leavened during this time, as we'll see. So, verse 6, and there shall be a very great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there hath not been, nor shall be any more. Oh, that's a lot of people. We suggest to you that the Lord has shown us that a lot of people are going to die in the plague that is coming. And this is talking about a plague, is it not? Okay. And the cause for this plague coming was Pharaoh and his people. This was the cause of the plague coming. I mean, the judgments were coming because he was hardening his heart, just as it says back in chapter 10. He hardened his heart. And, of course, the deep state, they harden their heart. They're attempting to take down God's people, and it's them that's going to get taken down. But verse 7 says, against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. To the Israelites, of course, a dog was an unbeliever. Against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth make a distinction between the Egyptians and Israel. Do you suppose in this coming judgment that there's going to be such a distinction between those that are wiped out and those that are not? Because the plan is otherwise. Yeah. Do you suppose that this is going to happen so much that it'll be a witness to the world and the fear of God will come on the lost, including the lost Christians? Do you suppose? Verse 8, and all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out. So Moses is saying that these servants who were resisting him are going to submit to him. They will bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people. That follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. So think about what this is about now. The old man will release the born-again man. Have you had any bondage to the old man? Sounds like good news to me, you know. The old man will release from bondage the born-again man. Think about it. We also know at this time, just 7 days later at the Red Sea, there was a baptism of water and a baptism of the Spirit. Listen, a release from bondage. I think many people who walk after the Lord and have walked by faith are going to have a release from bondage of the old man and a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. And for those who haven't been baptized in water, they'll start respecting the word and get their baptism in water too. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus said. Listen to what he said. He that believeth, now you first have to believe. Babies can't believe. So baby sprinkling is worthless. Okay. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus said. Fear the Lord and obey his word. You say, well, I haven't found anybody. Yeah, you can find somebody. Yes, you can. I've talked to people all over the country, and they always do, if it's important enough to them. Yes, you can do it. And after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh will not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So he gave warning, you know, but he wasn't listened to. He's not going to be listened to. And there's a reason. So that God has to use his power to reveal his mighty power, as Romans 9 speaks about. to show to the world his power, that he can force this thing anytime he gets good and ready. I will not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, that his power may be made known, the scripture says. And what a witness to the world. Why would they suddenly have a fear of God, that they wouldn't even a dog wag its tongue against God's people? So, and Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. The judgments are to set free God's people and to impress the pagans out there and God's people of his great mighty power to set free anytime, anywhere he wants. In 12 and 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Well, that was Abib, and it was in the spring. And, of course, we've received words spring and fall. So that could be something you can think about when this could happen. A spring and fall. Passover was in spring. And then we received, as you remember, those of you who've been with us, a great sign, or great signs of things springing forth in the fall, budding and springing forth and bringing forth flowers and cherries and whatever in the fall. That was a supernatural sign from God. So this will be the first month of the year unto you. This is the real year, the biblical year. Starts in the spring. Verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb. Now we know who the Lamb is. The Lamb is Jesus, the Word of God, right? According to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household be too little for a lamb, then shall he and his neighbor next unto his house take one according to the number of the souls. God's practical. He's not trying to put a burden on anybody for this Passover. And we're not talking about keeping the literal Passover, because we're told in 1 Corinthians 5 that our Passover lamb has already been sacrificed, and that's Jesus Christ. But you still have to eat the lamb, and the lamb is the Word of God. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word. Do you want to have faith to survive this thing? Is it important for you and your children that you're raising to study the Word of God? Children have more faith than their parents lots of times, because they're simple. They come to their God, their Father, very simply, and they just believe if you tell them something. It's the best time to catch them when they're young. So take one according to the number of the souls, according to every man's eating. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old, without blemish. Means a holy lamb, which is who Lord Jesus is, a holy lamb without blemish. A male, a year old, that's one who's gone through death, burial, and resurrection, as every year does. Okay. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. That's the Passover, right? The 14th day of the same month. That's the first month. and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at evening, because that's who killed the Lord Jesus, the people of God, right? And they shall take of the blood and put it on the two side posts and on the lintel, upon the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now, how do you apply your knowledge of the word to put the blood on the doorposts and lintel? Well, let me just read it to you in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "This is the message which we heard from him and announce unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." So you can't be with him, you can't be abiding in him, if you're abiding in darkness. Because in him is no darkness at all. He is light. If you're abiding in him, you're going to have light. Light is the light of the word of God, the truth, right? So you want to walk in darkness? You'd rather not hear the truth? You'd rather walk in darkness? Well, you lie if you say you abide in him. We're told if we abide in him, we'll walk as he walked. But if we walk in the light of God's word, you know, this is proven that you are assimilating the word of God. You can have it in your mind, but if it's not in your feet, you haven't yet eaten it. You have not yet assimilated it into your body. That's the only way to do it. If we walk in the light of the word, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If you're walking in the light, you have fellowship. You're not factious, you're not divisive, you're not proud and arrogant and judgmental. It's not going to happen. You're walking in darkness. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There it is, the covering of the blood. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there it is, walking under the blood, right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, this is God's command. And confession of sin can be to a person, if that's what God's calling you to do, or it can be just to God. It depends on what God desires for you, and so on. And verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So when you have sinned, and you confess your sin, you get deliverance. If you don't confess it, you're saying that you haven't sinned, and you make him a liar. So there's the application of the blood. We'll remember that as we come across this again. So put it on the lintel and doorpost. You've got to be clean. You've got to be accounted righteous by God. And you're counted righteous by your faith in the blood. And walking in that faith and walking in that righteousness. And verse 8 says, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. So that's where your unleavened bread starts. It starts at the Passover and it goes for 7 days. And God warns you. Do not have any leaven in your houses, as we'll see. With bitter herbs shall they eat it. Remember what John was told? He was given that little book. He was told to eat that book. And it was what? Sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his belly. was the belly camp for. It represents the flesh. Their, whose God is their belly, represents the flesh. Bitter herbs. So when you eat the unleavened bread, you got to eat it with bitter herbs, because it is bitter to the old man. It's death to the old man. What God is saying is repent, change your mind, do what I say. And that's death to the old man. If you walk after the Spirit, the old man dies. If you walk after the flesh, the new man dies. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots, Jude said. And verse 9 says, eat not of it raw, nor boil at all with water, but roast with fire. Fire's purity. Nothing can live through fire that is not purified, right? Its head with its legs with its inwards thereof. The head represents what? The renewed mind of Christ. The legs represent the walk of Christ. And the inward parts thereof, the heart and the inwards of Christ. And you are to partake of all of that. And that's what assimilating it is. Not just knowing it so you can tell somebody else. Assimilating it is doing it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? So it's a lie when you call him Lord and you don't do what he says. He's not your Lord. You're not obeying him. Verse 10. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. In other words, partake of all of the lamb. This is part of the Passover, all of the lamb. You can't just take half of the word. There's people out there that don't believe in the deliverance of the Passover. They don't believe in divine healing or divine health. They don't believe. Well, how does that protect you? Because Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. See, so how does that protect you? It doesn't. You haven't assimilated the whole lamb. They believe in salvation for the soul, but not salvation for the body, which is clearly in the redemption. But that which remaineth of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. In other words, if you don't partake of it, your chance is over. That's what he's saying. You missed your chance. And thus shall you eat, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. What does that mean? It means after you get through eating the Passover, be ready to leave Egypt. If you don't leave Egypt, you are not keeping the Passover. All of this, be ready to leave. Your staff in your hand, your shoes on your feet, your loins girded, walk out the door. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Yes, because there's something coming. For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Who is the in the world, if you want to call it the world, who is the firstborn? It's the flesh. It's the old man. And if you want to see it just as the Egyptians or the lost people in the world, same thing. They're once born, number one born. Both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgments. Yes, all of those gods are going to fail. And all of the gods of Christianity are going to fail them. Baal is going to fail them. They're believing in Baal. They've got their own Jesus. Baal was the father of the virgin-birthed Son of God from Babel. That's right. He's a fake Jesus. He's a fake God, a fake father. And people have put their trust in this, and God can't honor that. Your Jesus has to be the Jesus of the Bible. That's why you need to eat nothing but unleavened bread. None of the leaven of the Pharisees. It's got to be the Word, right? And if you're studying under someone that doesn't believe the word and all of the word, get out of there. They're leavening you. If they have a form of godliness and they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. Get out of there. That's not a church. Church means called out ones. They're not coming out of Babylonish Christianity. They're not coming out of Baal. I will execute judgments. Against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgments. I am the Lord. Yes, and he's going to do exactly what he wants, and he is going to fulfill scriptures. The things that happen unto them are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, well, 1 John 1, 5 through 9, read it. When I see the blood, when he sees you walking in and out under the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt. Notice, when I smite the land of Egypt. It doesn't matter what vessel God uses. If it happens, he's in it. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. If he permits the deep state to send out a plague, well, he just did. Now, it may get turned around and bite them, but he still sent it out. And we've been told that a plague is coming through the hands of the deep state, but it's also going to take them down. God is that big. And remember, the Red Sea is only 7 days from here. And at the Red Sea, it's the Red Sea. We're talking about a red wave taking down Pharaoh and his army. Not a blue wave, a red wave. You need to pray for that, saints, because God's going to use your prayers to bring that to pass. You need to pray for that. They're going to try to cheat. Yes, they did it last time, and God stopped it when people prayed. You need to pray now that everything will fail. It was an 11-year-old that hacked into the voting apparatus and changed it around. And behind him, a bunch of other kids did it. Go look it up and read it. Can you imagine? And, you know, when we were told that Trump was going in there and we had to pray, I remember pointing out to you the people who had researched the voting boxes and that they had been tampered with. They even went to the people who made it and wanted to know why they made it so it could be flipped by them. And they said, well, that's the way they bought it. That's what they asked for. We gave them what they asked for. I put that whole story out there. You think they're not going to do it again? They just did it throughout Europe. They're still doing it now. Everywhere they can get away with it, they're doing it. You're the ones that are supposed to be binding these things. There shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. In other words, a reminder of something. You know, we are supposed to remember this story. It's for us. It's for us. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever, because he wants us to remember this time. In other words, you're coming to it again. History always repeats the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. God does everything according to history. It's a prophecy of the future. Verse 15, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. Hey, you know what? Put the leaven out of your houses. If it's wrongful teaching, wrongful doctrine, wrongful lusts, put it out of your houses. Put away the leaven out of your houses. The Word only. That's what God wants God's people to study. The Word only. 4. Whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Now, I see a possibility of two parables here, or a double fulfillment of this parable. It was 7 days to the Red Sea. And they physically, you know, had to not partake or not have any leaven in their houses or on their person. So this means no religious materials from the apostate denominations, none of their doctrine holdovers. Get rid of the garbage. Go back and read the Word. It will edify you, build you up, sanctify you, and get you ready for whatever's coming. All right? So, if you have leavened bread and you eat the leavened bread, you'll be cut off from Israel. Verse 15. That soul shall be cut off from Israel. So there's come a time God's saying, I'm drawing a line in the sand here. Don't you pass over it. Don't you partake of that which is going to make you be defiled or unclean. Because I'm going to cleanse my church. It's going to be a sanctified body, not just sanctified individuals. It's going to be a sanctified body. Don't partake of leaven and don't bring it into my church, my called out ones, right? And in the first day there shall be to you a holy convocation, and in the seventh day a holy convocation. You know what a convocation is? It's a rehearsal. A rehearsal. All of the feasts were rehearsals. For what? For the fulfillment of that parable coming to pass. It's a rehearsal for the real thing coming down the road. Okay. Now we're coming into the real thing. This was a relatively small group of people that God used for this parable, for a much greater group of people at the end time. Those who are truly God's, not just by parable or by letter, but by spirit and by born-again life and by keeping the unleavened bread. A holy convocation from the first day and in the seventh day. No manner of work shall be done in them. In other words, if you partake of the Word, you know what the Word says. God's power is made perfect in your weakness. Cease from your own works to keep God's works. That's what a Sabbath is. Ceasing from your own works. Save that which every man must eat. That only may be done by you. We have to eat the Word. We have to eat the unleavened bread. God told me to call our ministry unleavened bread. And he told me, don't teach anything except the Word. Now, I know everybody out there says that, yet we believe it from cover to cover, but you find out pretty quickly that that's not true. And we do know that Jesus Christ is coming to bring the unleavened bread. We do know that we've been called to make storehouses, like Joseph did, with the grain of the unleavened bread to prepare for these times to come. We do know that. It's been spoken to us by God. And of course, the enemy wants to take down those granaries. This is Antichrist. This is Satan, who is desperate to take down those granaries, right? And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your hearts, your hosts, excuse me, out of the, that's good, the hearts is pretty good too, have I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day throughout your generations by an ordinance forever. Amen. And in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, which is the Passover, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. And that's 7 days, right? 7 days. And it starts where? At the Passover, the 14th day, the Passover. So you make sure that you're partaking of unleavened bread if you want to have a Passover. That's part of it. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. Now your house can of course mean your body, or it could mean your physical house, either one. Or it could be your house of worship, wherever you use to worship, and the group of people around you. That could also be a house, you know. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. And you know what? I'm seeing this happen. I'm seeing this happen, that people permit leaven in and they are cut off from the congregation. The demons drive them out. Drive them away because of their leaven. Because they're trying to leaven God's people. And he wants them to be unleavened for the days of judgments. From the congregation of Israel, whether he be a sojourner or one that is born in the land, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. So beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Jesus and the Sadducees. And he also said, beware of the leaven of Herod, you know, which is a political leaven, which we're seeing out there, aren't we? This political leaven, the physical leadership as opposed to the spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership is not to permit leaven, and neither is the physical leadership. We're trying to get rid of Herod, right? Praise God. How many people are so corrupted with that spirit from politics? They got the same faction and witchcraft and slander, the same spirits in politics as is attacking the church at this time. And that is leaven. And these have to repent or die. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out, take ye lambs according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts of the with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. That's kind of like, don't go out of the ark, Noah. You fall in. So judgment is outside the door, right? For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. He will not suffer it. He will not permit it. The destroyer is on his leash. He said, no plague shall be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 13. And now he's saying it again. He won't suffer. He will not permit the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And that includes the dragon, the planet X, the destroyer, as Egyptians called it. That includes that too, whenever that happens. Now, the last time I think we talked about it very much, we were talking about it being below the feet of Virgo by Libra, and that's still quite a ways in space, folks. It's still coming. People are tracking it. I'll talk about that some other time. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you are come to the land which the Lord will give you, according to as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service, this Passover of the destroyer. So is this supposed to be an eternal thing that we stay under the Passover? It's not just a one-day thing. It's not just a week thing. It's not just till they get to the Red Sea. He said, you keep this in your land, your promised land. And by the way, our land, you know, is this life, this physical life that the spiritual man lives in. That's our promised land. It was promised to us. We are to conquer the enemies in that land and take it and use it. That means rule over this body, right? And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. Well, it was a lamb for a household, wasn't it? So we believe in a lamb for a household. We believe that the lamb, we're trusting God, that the children are sanctified through the believing parents, 1 Corinthians 7 says. You are to believe for your family. It was a lamb for a household. And of course, anytime you can get them to eat it, do it. But keep on trusting God, right? Because you walk by faith and not by sight. You call the things that be not as though they were. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. That's what God says. You shall have them. Believe it. Don't get anxious and trouble for your kids or your mate, you know. Don't get anxious or trouble. Trust in the Lord. Believe God. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went and did so. That's an unusual thing, huh? As the Lord hath commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Again, that was an unusual thing, huh? And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. If you see the Egyptians as the wicked, or you can see them as the old man keeping the new man in bondage, but he's the firstborn man, right? He sat on it from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Well, that's amazing. I don't know if this is going to be fulfilled physically in this coming plague. I have no idea. But at least spiritually it's going to be fulfilled. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up. Get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord, as you have said. So there was a release at this time. And I believe the plague will bring about a release of God's people. But that won't be the end of it, will it? And we'll talk about that later. But that has been bringing a release in a way, right? Take both your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we are all dead men. The people that count are going to recognize that there's been a Passover of God's righteous people. They're going to recognize that. And they're going to fear. They said, we are all dead men. Those words were probably spoken to fulfill a type, right? The old man, the dead man, right? And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, that they let them have what they asked, and they despoiled the Egyptians. So there is going to be a despoiling of the Egyptians for the sake of the wilderness. And of course there's a type over there in the wilderness where that they made gods out of what God gave them, and it was ground up and strewn upon the stream, and they had to drink it. So they were going to reap what they sowed, you know. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt. For it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry. Neither had they couldn't stay in Egypt. I mean, when you eat the lamb, you have to leave Egypt. Don't just eat the lamb and think you've done something. Because hearers of the word, not doers of the word, don't have the power to obey. They don't have faith. We look in the mirror and we see Jesus, and this gives us power to obey because we're believing that he took away our sins. Therefore, we get up and walk out of Egypt. When you believe, you act. Faith without works is dead. The person that says they believe they're saved and they don't get saved. And what is saved? I mean, when you read the word sozo, it covers everything. Start walking out of Egypt. You don't have to live that way anymore. Repent. Respect his word. You can walk out of Egypt. Because you believe the Lamb took the curse, right? He became a curse for us that we might have Abraham's blessings. He bore the curse. He bore the sickness. He bore the demon possession. He bore it all. And he bore that curse upon himself so we can leave Egypt. They can't hold us, right? And could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now the time that the children of Israel dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went up from the land of Egypt. It was a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be much observed to all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and to Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no foreigner eat thereof. That's right. Foreigners don't partake of the Passover. What is a foreigner? Somebody that don't look and walk and talk like an Israelite, right? So, they don't talk our language, they don't walk our walk, etc., etc. They don't partake of the Passover. In fact, this was spoken again just a little further down. I'll read it to you. But every man's servant that is brought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. So, circumcised, that's the flesh cut off. Nobody can cut off the flesh of the way a man sows his seed without having Jesus. It just don't happen. People don't get saved without Jesus. When a person's got corruption in them, they keep it, and it just gets worse. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. Amen. And all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let them come near and keep it. You know what our circumcision is, right? Paul called it baptism. But it wasn't just a matter of going down in the water. Bapto means to dip beneath, right? It's not a sprinkling. It's a burial. We're buried with him through baptism. It's not just going down in the water. That's the sign of what you're to do from then on, which is let the water of the word, the washing of the water with the word, put to death your old life, your old man. You're accepting the old man dead. He said, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Are you worried about sin? Are you worried about your failure? Are you worried about your future because of your sin? Well, you're not reckoning yourself to be dead unto sin. Because then he says, the very next verse, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Romans 6. In other words, when you walk by faith that your sins were taken away, the very nature of them was taken away, nailed to that cross. Jesus bore that curse. The Lamb was slain to take away your sins. When you believe that, you can be happy. You are free. You can enter into the rest from your works to try to save yourself. That's keeping the Sabbath. We keep the Sabbath by faith. We walk by faith. When we walk by faith, we cease from our own works. We're trusting that God has done this, and we're now free. Free to serve Him. So don't be anxious or troubled about your sin. Start walking by faith. Nobody else is going to get delivered. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for fulfilling it for your people. We thank you for encouraging your people. We thank you for the Passover that you've prepared for these things that are coming. We ask, Lord, that the brethren out there get prepared. Get prepared with the unleavened bread. Get prepared by eating the Lamb, the Word of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for doing this for us. In the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just ask you to bless Michael Hare and anoint him to share with the brethren, and that all the brethren hear and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.